Wonderful to see everybody. It's our privilege once again to hear from Moran Rosenblatt, a friend of the church and one who's been befriended by this church over the years. That's the way good relationships form. They're mutual benefit. And Moran is my personal friend. So even when you stop liking him, which could be soon, he's my friend. We've known each other for many, many years. We know our family situations. We've seen our kids grow and develop. Speaking of which, he has three really beautiful, beautiful kids. Even the boy who's 16, not beautiful, handsome, but his sisters are quite beautiful. And Moran's wife has been here in times past, has sung from time to time, and she's just a doll. Moran was born in a place you may have heard of called Israel, born again in the another foreign country called California. And then Moran went back to Israel to bring the gospel back to where it began. And there his heart is to shine and be light to Jewish people, to Arab people, to all people, because all people need Yeshua. Do you know who I just said? Yeah, that's Jesus. Okay, great. So it is our privilege to hear from Moran. And let me just tell you, we have a materials table right out in the hall. And I hope you go by. There are some items of interest on it. One is a book Moran wrote to assist believers in the discipleship process. You may find it to be quite interesting. Also, you'll find a calendar there. It's not an ordinary one. It's a really great way by which you can keep in touch with Moran and his ministry, which is called Hope for Israel. It's a 60-month calendar, which is wonderful. Now, the bad news is, as I look about, a number of us won't need that many months. I'm just saying. Can we get a discount? Yeah, well, there you go. So that might be helpful to you. A subsidiary of Hope for Israel, of which Moran is the founder and executive director, is called Tours of Hope. And that's the group we partner with in order to tour the Holy Land and have been doing it for many, many years. And some of you have been participants in it. All right. Would you welcome Moran Rosenblatt? Shalom, brother.
Thank you, my brother Stuart. After this introduction, people may want me to come back next week. I'm not sure, but well, it's truly a blessing to be with you. And you know, I just landed today from that other land, foreign land called California. So I was in Sacramento and yesterday in this foreign land of San Francisco. And I have to tell you something. I had lunch yesterday in San Francisco, and I couldn't help it, but whenever I refer to the people that I had the lunch with, I refer to them as y'all. And they didn't understand, so I had to interpret to them what I was saying because they didn't really understand. But it's truly a blessing for me to be here again, and I'm very excited to be with all y'all. And I'm especially thankful that you came today and that you chose the true kingdom over the other kingdom. And I promise you will have enough time to see the score, and hopefully you'll be very happy tonight. So, but that's to be determined. Psalm 126 says, when the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are joyful. And my dear brothers and sisters, as my brother Stuart was referring to, I come from the true Holy Land, not of New Jersey or Brooklyn. I'm sorry. Ouch. And I'm coming from the city of Jerusalem. And we no longer need to be as those who dream, but we can wake up to the reality of what the Lord has done and is doing in front of our own eyes. The fact, the mere fact that you and I get to open our eyes and see that there is a land today called Israel. There is a city called Jerusalem. Is a proof of what I believe the greatest miracle in modern history. A miracle that proves that God exists. And a miracle that proves that God's word is true. Because otherwise there is no way to explain that mystery. How can it be that a small tiny nation suddenly became a small tiny nation once again? After thousands of years in the exile, we were regathered back to the land that God has promised our forefathers. And one need to understand that that miracle is not because of anyone or anything, but the one and only true God and His faithfulness. No, it's not a popular message, but it's not because of the U.S. It's not because of Israel. It's not because of our great military. It's simply because there is a faithful God that when He says that something will happen, it will happen. And I don't know what about you, but I am excited that I get to live in such a time as this. And not only that God is regathering His children from the four corners of the earth back to the land that He has promised our forefathers, not only that He is bringing us back to the land from captivity in a physical way, but He's also doing it in the spiritual way. And I believe that there is a great privilege, yet great responsibility that you and I have. So a question that I like to ask is, what does it mean for me? Because we can come here and I can do this opening and share about it, but if it just stops in the amen, then I believe that we are missing the purpose that we get to be privileged, that God shows us for such a time as this. And I don't believe that it shows us for such a time as this just to say hallelujah and amen, but rather that in and through us He can manifest His glory. And all y'all, wow, I love that. I love that. It's getting better, right, over the years? It's pretty much the only two words everyone understands that I say. Everything else, it's like, you look like what I say, all y'all, it's a, but I believe that you have a very important role in the times that we live in today. Romans 11, starting from verse 11, says, I say then, They did not stumble as to fall, did they? Far from it. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles. You're welcome. And I mean it. People ask, why did your people reject Yeshua? Well, if we would have accepted him the first time he came, then all in all would not be part of God's story. It was predestined by God that we will reject him the first time, that through our rejection of him, salvation has come to the Gentiles as well. You were grafted to the tree of blessing. But always comes the question, why were you grafted? And Romans 11 answers that, to make them, meaning the Jewish people, jealous. Now, if their wrongdoings proves to be riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles. Therefore, in as so far as much as I'm doing my ministry as an apostle for the Gentiles, I'm magnifying my ministry if somehow I may move my own people to jealousy and save some of them. For if their rejection proves to be reconciliation of the world, what will be their acceptance but life from the dead? And with that come a question, do we want to see the second coming of our Messiah? Yes? I would say 80% said yes. That's pretty good. That's a good odd. 20% are still unsure. We need to understand that if the rejection proves to be a reconciliation of the world, what will be the acceptance but life from the dead, meaning the second coming of our Messiah? Yeshua himself, when he was here on earth, standing on the beautiful mountain of Olives, he said to Jerusalem that you will not see me again, not forever, but until you say the words, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So a condition for the second coming is the returning of the children of Jerusalem back to God. And I believe that part of the reason why God chose you to come from darkness to light is to cause Israel and to bring Israel to jealousy. Now, how can one cause us to be jealous? I want to suggest, by the way you live your faith. Not so much by the way we talk, because faith without works is dead, by the way we live our lives. Another way is by the fact that you love God, and because you love God, you love the things of God. And because you love the things of God, we understand that part of the things of God is a plan that he has to a land and a group of people called Israel. And therefore, we will stand up for the truth regardless of the price. Regardless of the price. And my dear brothers and sisters, we need to understand that the anti-Israel movement is growing. Big part because of these cities that I love so much called Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem have a very important destiny. Number one, the destiny is the most important, is a place where our Messiah one day is going to come back. And he's going to bring unity to all the people. So part of Jerusalem's destiny is to unite people. No wonder why Jerusalem is the center of division today in the world. There is not any other city that brings more division than Jerusalem. Anything that is happening there right away is breaking news all over the world. So God has a plan for the city, and so is the enemy has a plan for the city, and the enemy's job is to try to stop that plan of God. Thank God we are on the winning side, right? Are we on the winning side? And I believe that in the next few minutes, I will challenge some of that. Are we willing to stand up for the truth? No matter what the cost. No matter if this nonsense of the BDS, that stands for Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions, will hurt us. If people talk badly about us, if people will mock us, I rather they will talk badly and will mock me for the truth than for me living in denial of the truth. Let me show you a short video about the BDS and some of the things that they are doing. Now, this video, in the video, it's not me, it's my younger version. Okay, the better looking one. It was done a few years ago, but I think it's still relevant for today.
Yes, yes, BDS! Yes, yes, BDS!
To stand in solidarity with the people.
Shalom, it's Moran Rosenblit, and today I'm in London to catch up with the latest BDS bullying. This time, Puma is at the center of the latest controversy. Why? Just for sponsoring the Israeli Football Association. Are you confused? So am I. If you've never heard about the BDS campaign, let me give you a short explanation. BDS stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction. They claim to be a global movement that promotes freedom, justice, and equality.
Wake up, Puma! Wake up, Warcrime!
Sounds pretty fair, except that it's not. The truth is, it's a movement that aimed to arm Israel and only Israel.
We're here to end the Israeli apartheid of Palestine!
Yes. They're spreading lies on our campuses worldwide.
BDS is a very measured, responsible, and reasonable reaction.
Spewing false accusations in the media.
And these are people that are demonstrating quite peacefully.
And misleading us all in the streets.
I was in the metro, I was in like one of the subways, and I've had AK-47s in my face as well.
If BDS really wanted justice, why wouldn't they target the worst human rights violators out there? I don't see any call to action against North Korea on the BDS website, Syria, Sudan, or Yemen, only Israel. Which is puzzling since Israel is one of the most progressive countries in the world today. And by far in the Middle East, where Arab citizens enjoy more freedom than those living in other Arab nations. So is it about land? There are presently 120 countries involved in territorial disputes, many of which have produced much more bloody suffering than the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Yet, BDS singles out Israel and only Israel with a brutal campaign putting an end to the Jewish state. Okay, so perhaps it's about humanity, if only it were. But the sad truth is that BDS doesn't care about promoting human rights. What they do care about is harming Israel, starving the Jewish state economically, and isolating it socially. A movement based on hatred, lies, and ignorance is dangerous and destructive. And you know what? The real danger is to you and your family. This movement is misleading young people around the world who genuinely do care about human rights. Your loved ones are being fooled
by hatred and lies. Did you know?
BDS want to appear woke, but actually slept through history class.
But the reality is that this is happening. And there is a battle over that city that I love so much, the city of Jerusalem. And the battle is going, like I said, in the schools, universities, all the way to the government. Now, before I continue, I'm well aware that when we say the government today, the U.S. administration today, I'm saying it in Texas. So there are some very strong opinions. But it's important for me to say that regardless of whatever administration is in power, the anti-Israel voices are very strong on both sides and both parties. As of last few weeks, there were more and more voices in the U.S. government that challenge and try to stop U.S. financial aid to supply some more Iron Dome defense missiles to Israel. And as I said, the voices are from both the Democratic and Republican parties that were involved in the efforts to stop aiding Israel with Iron Dome missiles. Now, here is the irony. The Iron Dome missiles are not just protecting Jewish people. They are also protecting the 2 million some Arab people within the land of Israel. They protect Druze people. They protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which supposedly a place of holiness for the Muslim people. Yet, there are some voices that want to stop that from happening. Just during the last few days, there is a high condemnation against the Israeli government by the U.S. administration, because Israel declared 6 civil rights organizations as terror groups due to the support that they are giving to an organization called, terror organization called the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which is a terror group. So those civil rights groups will raise funds, and then they will use those funds to support terror against Israel. And because Israel called those organizations terror organizations, Israel is now being condemned. Another reason that Israel is being condemned today is because Israel just announced they're going to continue to build homes within the borders of Judea and Samaria. Now, anyone who is a Bible-believing believer will understand that when we talk about Judea and Samaria, that's part of the land that God has entrusted for Israel to care for. So naturally, Israel will build homes in its territory. Is anyone trying to stop you, all y'all, from building homes in Texas? So why should anyone stop us from trying to build homes in Israel? But my dear brothers and sisters, I can go on and on and on. But the reality is that we should not be surprised by all those things. As people who believe in the Word of God, we always need to read what the Word of God says. For example, the prophet of Zechariah in chapter 14 says, "Behold, the day is coming for the Lord when the spoils taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be taken, the houses plundered, the women raped, and half of the city exiled, and the rest of the people will not be eliminated from the city." So great judgment is coming over the city. in the form of all the nations that will gather against Jerusalem. And please note that it says all the nations. What part of all don't we understand? So the Bible says that all the nations, that means that most likely it will include the United States of America. It's hard and sad that it is for me to say that. No man will be able to stop what the Word of God says. Nobody will be able to stop. Now, why would all the nations gather against Jerusalem? In my opinion, it's because God's judgment is going to start with Jerusalem first. But it's going to start with Jerusalem first in order to cleanse Jerusalem from its iniquities and to bring us to a place where we acknowledge Him and put our hope only in Him and invite Him to come back. So as long we can trust Iron Dome or U.S. funding of Iron Dome and the American government and support, then we look at America, not at God. But the minute that will stop, we will have nowhere else to look at but the one and only true God. So we need to have that in the back of our mind, because otherwise it's becoming very personal. Right, Bill? Become very personal. We get upset. But we have to stop for a moment and have this biblical point of view at things. And then our anger can turn into prayer. Because prayer is much more effective than anger. So I personally believe that this anti-Israel movement called the BDS is there to gather the nations against Jerusalem. And they are going to continue to do it through lies after lies that will be spread against Israel and the Jewish people, because the only tool that they have is lying. Even terror groups like Hamas are hiding behind the anti-Israel movement in claim that they are doing it as efforts of fighting social justice. For those of you who were here on Sunday, you heard me saying that, and I'll say it again. Just last May, not long ago, I was traveling, I was here in Louisiana, getting ready to go to the airport to fly back home, when I get the news that there have been rocket attacks that Hamas shot toward Jerusalem. Right away, I called my wife to ask her where she's at. She was driving with my youngest daughter. I asked her, "Where are you?" And she described to me exactly where she is at. And then she said, "Just continue to drive. There is, under the freeway, there is a tunnel. Just stop over there. That's the safest place for you to stop." What she didn't know that a minute after she drove, a rocket fell not far from the location that she drove with my youngest daughter. I called my other two children to see where they are. They told me where they are. I said, "Just get into the security room and lock the doors and the windows." In a matter of 12 days, Hamas shot over 4,400 rockets toward Israel. But when Israel defends itself, then right away they show the world the evil Israelis. The stories, like my personal stories, you will not hear on the news, and I'm just one family. So we need to understand that even the terror groups are using this anti-Israel movement to continue to raise their goal. And what they want is they want people like yourself to see that and to be brainwashed and to turn your opinion against Israel. And that's why it's important to be immersed in the truth.
This message is for those of you who stand for social justice, who believe in peace and want to promote peace. On May 21st, a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas started. The agreement was followed by a great celebration in Gaza, the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in Jerusalem, the streets of Umm al-Fahim, and other cities throughout the Judea and Samaria. It was a celebration of what they called victory in the war against Israel. As I watched this, I wondered, what are they celebrating exactly? Were they celebrating the devastating damage in Gaza or the many women and children that were killed there? Many from their own misfired rockets? Perhaps they were celebrating the fact that Hamas bombed the main electric line that Israel provides for Gaza, causing blackouts to the entire Gaza Strip? Or was it the bombing of Israeli humanitarian trucks, bringing much-needed food and medicine to the civilians in Gaza? Their only victory is the growing unrest between Israeli Jews and Arabs, which has destroyed years of coexistence. Or the rising of anti-Semitic and anti-Israel sentiment throughout the world. I started this message by saying that this is for you, those of you who stand for social justice, who believe in peace and want to promote peace. Is beating up innocent Jewish people in restaurants in Los Angeles and New York, or damaging synagogues in Germany, or calling for the rape of Jewish women in the streets of England, the kind of justice and peace you stand for? Did you know?
Now, I know that this may anger some of us, and rightly so. But again, I always go back to the word, and please remember what the word says. The same Zechariah says in verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on the day of battle. Is it safe to be in Israel? Absolutely right, Brother Stuart. Why? Because God will be the one that is going to fight against those nations. So we are waiting for you to come home, okay? Because, you know, I know that there is a protection of Texas, but, you know, in Israel, God will go and fight the nations. So God himself will go and fight the nations. However, I also believe that the same Zechariah gives you and I a choice that we are to make. Zechariah 14 verse 16 says that then it will come that any who are left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of armies, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. Now, if you don't know what the Feast of Booths, Brother Stuart will be more than glad to share with you about the Feast of Booths, as he did so many times, but he will remind you of that, okay? So you will know what you're celebrating at the end times. But it says those who are left among the nations. And a question that always I like to raise for my brothers and sisters, who are those who are left among the nations? And let me suggest that I personally believe that those who are left among the nations will be only the true born again believers. Those who love God, those who will stand for God, those who will not join the nations, those that will be willing even to pay with their own lives for the truth. Those will be the ones that will be left amongst the nations. Now, for Israel, that would be something that would provoke us to jealousy. Because when the children of Israel will see those true believers truly standing for God and loving us, even willing to giving up our own earthly life for their sake, they will want to know why. They will want to have the same faith as those who will be left among the nations. And I believe that that will be a key in the revival of the Jewish people and the return of the Jewish people back to God. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we have a choice to make. Now, I know I am speaking at a church called Sagemont in the Holy Land of Texas. I know that if you come here specifically on Wednesday night, you have a heart, number one, for God, because that's the most important thing for me. You have a heart for His Word, and I believe, because of the love that I receive here, that you also have a love for Israel. But I want to exhort you, each of us have an opportunity. Each of us have co-workers, neighbors, family members who need to know the truth. And I want to call on you to be ambassadors for the truth. Israel need you, we need you, and together I believe we can make a difference. For such a time as this, I believe that God has called us. Lord, I want to thank you for your love and for your grace. I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters. And Father, I pray for your mercy, for your grace. I pray for another opportunity for the United States of America, a place that I love so much. We pray for revival for this place. Lord, we pray that you will shine your light in such a powerful way through your children here in America. And Lord, we continue to pray for your peace to come back to Jerusalem. We pray for the hearts of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We pray for the days that Jerusalem will say the words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Lord, may we, your body, Jew and Gentile alike, embrace one another. And may you shine your light through the love that you have planted in our hearts for you first and to one another. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.